Well, I do want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here and to worship together. Appreciated the emphasis on that this morning, of the privilege and opportunity that it is. Our furnace was messed up a little bit this morning, and it was just a few degrees colder than it normally is, but it doesn't take much, and it's uncomfortable. And just the thought that we're in a nice warm building this morning, worshiping together, something to be thankful for. So thank you for those thoughts. You can open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for message this morning. One of the challenges that we are looking at in our accountability group is jotting down some thoughts that we have as we read through our personal reading. So in my personal reading last week, I was reading through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also Jude. And there was a theme that sort of came to my mind as I was reading those passages, and that is the thought of the conflict that we are in our Christian lives. When we give our hearts to Christ, we enter into a battle, and the battle between good and evil. And I just want to share a couple verses that from each of the chapters in 1 John, or each of the books, I should say. 1 John 5, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So there's a thought of conflict. There's someone that we need to overcome. In 2 John, it says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought or worked for, but that we receive a full reward." So there's the opportunity for us to lose ground that we have gained. The thought there. Wrought means to toil or to labor. Then in 3 John, verse 11, it says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." So it's not natural for our inclination to follow that which is good. It's our natural inclination to follow after the things that are bad when we're living in the flesh, isn't it? Just like when we're going kayaking or canoeing, if we're going to go with the stream, that's not difficult. But if we want to go upstream, we have to overcome the force of the water. It's a thought I get there when I read that verse. And then in Jude, it says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend," which means to struggle for, "the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So this morning we're in a battle. I don't need to tell you that. I'm just reminding you of that, reminding myself that we are in a battle. And there's a battle between the forces of evil and Christ and his kingdom. We know that war is already won, but you and I are still here on this earth, and we are in the battle. Jesus has triumphed over Satan. When he rose from the dead, he was victorious over death and sin. But you and I still are here in this earth, in this flesh, and we have this struggle, and this battle that we face. Not all of us face the same types of battles. We face different battles. We have different things in our lives that we need to fight against and overcome. So this morning I want to remind us that we are soldiers in this spiritual army, and we're fighting these spiritual battles. And these battles have eternal consequences. And we're in a battle where the enemy wants to defeat our soul and to destroy us. We are in this conflict. And this shouldn't come as a surprise to us. Peter says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So it shouldn't surprise us this morning that there's a conflict, that there's a battle that we are in and that we are facing. This past week, the United States pause for a day to honor those who have fought for the cause of this country. Thursday was Veterans Day, and there's a lot of honor and respect given to those who have been willing to lay down their life, lay everything on the line for the cause of their country. They did this both figuratively and literally for this earthly kingdom. And as I thought about this holiday this past week and my personal reading, my mind went to these verses here in 2 Timothy. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's read the first four verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. For a title this morning, I'd like to use the phrase from verse 3, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We don't like hardness, do we? We don't like difficult things. We want things to be easy for us. But that's not what the Christian life is. It's a battle that we enter into. And we're going to look at some of the helps later on. But this morning, in the beginning, just thinking about the battle that we're in, the conflict that we're in, the difficulty it is to live above our flesh. Jesus gave us many promises that he would be with us and he would help us. But he never promised that life would be easy for us. He gave us, he offered us peace and power to live above sin. But he did never promise us that it would be easy. In fact, he promised the opposite. We read one of those promises earlier. He said that following him would be difficult. It's going to require giving up of ourselves, giving up of things that we want. And Paul here is telling young Timothy, he's saying, be like a soldier in the army. Endure hardness. Be ready to serve your commander, Jesus Christ. He compares it to a battle here. This morning, God is looking for soldiers in his army. People who are sold out for his kingdom, who are willing to give up everything for the cause of his kingdom. In the early 1900s, there was a recruiting poster for the U.S. Army, and some of you might remember what it looks like, but it's a picture of Uncle Sam, and he's pointing like this, right at the viewer, and he says, I want you to serve in the U.S. Army. And if you can kind of get that mental picture, that's not what God is doing to us. He's not going to demand it from us, but he wants soldiers in his army, people who are willing and ready to give up everything to follow him, to be a soldier in his army. Well, what does it mean to be a soldier in Christ's army? And I actually want to look at an Old Testament story this morning that is an example of a good soldier. Now, children, when you think of a soldier in the Bible, is there anybody that comes to mind? Who is a soldier, a good soldier in the Bible? Can you think of anyone? Anybody have an answer for a good soldier? Maybe you're thinking of someone who's big and strong. Anybody have an answer?
Goliath,
okay. Any others?
David,
okay. Any others? Samson. Okay, those are all good. But the one that I was thinking of is the one that Barb mentioned, David. So turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you may be thinking that we're mixing two different dispensations here, but bear with me as we read through the story and I'd like to learn some lessons from David and being a good soldier. First Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to start reading in verse 3. And we know the story well, but we don't often read it from the Bible. So I think I'm going to take the time to read the story from the Bible. And we'll take some points here on what it means to be a good soldier. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So I don't know exactly how tall this was, but I think it was probably around 9 feet, maybe a little bit higher. And I would say 9 feet's probably about to the top of that trim on that window. So imagine a man that came out, and he was about that tall. Let's keep reading verse 5. Not only was he tall, but he was very, very formidable. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye are servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, Now take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how they brethren fare, and take thy pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went. And as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down, that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him with by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took a staff in his hand, he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on, and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, but the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistine saw their champion was dead. They fled. And then the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherem, even unto Gath, and even unto Ekron. And we'll stop there. It's a long story. It's a familiar one. It's probably one of the first stories we hear as a child. But there's a lot we can learn from David in fighting our battles. And I want to look at those things here this morning. What does it mean to be a good soldier? Now, this is quite a gory story here and doesn't really fit in our dispensation, but I hope you were able to pick up, especially towards the end of that story, the spiritual aspect that this battle was. And the first point I'd like to learn from David is that a good soldier is obedient and faithful. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to be obedient and faithful. We need to be somebody that Jesus can count on in to be victorious. In this story, David was the most unlikely person to be the one to step up to the plate and fight this giant. It describes him as a young man, probably a teenager, probably small, doesn't really tell us. It says he was ruddy. He was of fair countenance. A boy, basically. A shepherd boy. He was the most unlikely person to fight this giant. But who was it in this story that should have been the person to step up and to lead out in this battle and to fight this Goliath? Anyone want to take a guess? Anyone have an idea? Saul was the person who should have. He was the military leader. He was the one who was supposed to lead out in battle. In 1 Samuel 9, verse 2, it says that Saul was a head and shoulder above all the other people of Israel. So he was big. He was the one who should have stepped up. He was experienced in battle. He had fought before, the Philistines before, many times. He had been victorious. But in this situation, he was afraid. He was greatly afraid, it says. Why do you think Saul was so afraid to go out and fight this Philistine? Saul had become a disobedient person. He had not carried out what God had asked him to do. In 1 Samuel 13, Saul was supposed to wait on Samuel to offer the sacrifice. And we know what happened there in the story. He waited 7 days. 7 days rolled around, and he became impatient. He didn't want to wait any longer. And his men were starting to leave him. They were starting to get restless. And Saul tried to save the situation himself, and he offered a sacrifice, trying to take things in his own hand. He disobeyed God, and Samuel came and chided him for that. Also, in 1 Samuel 15, Saul was told to destroy the Amalekites. And remember what he did? He saved Agag. He saved the best of the cattle. He saved the best of the things and brought them back. And Samuel came to him and said, "Saul, did you do what I told you to do?" And Saul says, "Yeah, I did. I obeyed." And Samuel said, "Well, why am I hearing the cows lowing?" And Saul says, "Well, you know, the people, they saved the best." And Samuel said, "No, we need to take care of this." And Samuel ended up being the one that killed Agag and finished the job that Saul was supposed to do. Saul did not obey God and do what he had told him to do. Yet Saul still wanted to be honored among the people. He said in chapter 15, verse 30, "Then he said, 'I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord God.'" It appears like Saul repented, but he didn't. He still wanted to have the honor of the people. So when this battle came that Goliath stood up, that's why Saul was very afraid. Obviously, Goliath was big, but Saul knew that he did not have the Spirit of God with him anymore, and he was afraid to go out and fight this battle. He wanted to look good in front of the people. A soldier that does not obey cannot be trusted and does not do what he is told cannot confidently fight spiritual battles. This morning, obedience is key for our spiritual victory. If we're going to win, we have to be obedient to God's word. David, on the other hand, was faithful. When he was given a task, he obeyed. It didn't matter what he was asked to do, small or big. I don't know the exact timeline of events here, but we could look back to chapter 16, which is just before the story of David and Goliath. And Samuel had anointed David to be king, but yet he went back and faithfully took care of the sheep. And when Saul wanted a musician to come and play for him, David filled that role. And then he was back taking care of his sheep, and then his father sent him to check and see how the battle was going. And he was responsible. He left the sheep with someone else, and he went and did what his father had told him to do. Disobedience to God makes victory impossible. Number two, a good soldier sees the big picture. So Saul and the rest of the army, they saw that giant. It doesn't seem they noticed at all that Goliath was coming out morning and evening for 40 days and defying God. It seems like they completely overlooked that point. That was one of the first things that David noticed. David asked, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying God?" He said, "Is there not a cause?" In verse 29, he says, "Is there not a cause here?" David said, "I'm not going to allow this to go on. I'm not going to allow God to be defied like this." And he stepped up to the plate. Sometimes we lose the big picture of the battle and what is going on. We're faced with a temptation. We're faced with a situation. We can only see right in front of us. And sometimes we fail. But I think about Joseph when he was faced with a temptation there with Potiphar's wife. He said, "How can I sin against God and do this great wickedness?" I think sometimes we lose sight of that, of the big picture. We get so focused on the battle and maybe justifying it or compromising in our mind that we lose sight of the big picture. But a good soldier keeps the big picture in mind, and he wants to win victory. the battle. Number three, a good soldier does not allow himself to be distracted. So David, when he came to see his brothers here, and he saw this, he immediately wanted to take action. But there was at least two groups of people that discounted him, his brothers. They said, "What are you doing here? There's no way you can, you're just here trying to show off. You're here just trying to find some action. Go back to those few sheep that you left there." David wasn't dissuaded by that. Also, when he went before Saul, Saul says, "You cannot fight this man. He's an experienced warrior, and you're just a boy." But David still didn't back down. He had a goal in mind. He had a focus, and he wasn't going to be distracted by those who didn't think that he was able to conquer this giant. We face a lot of different battles. Some of the hardest ones to face are the criticisms of others. But David had his eye on the goal. We talked about taking counsel this morning. David didn't take the counsel of his brothers or Saul when they said, "You can't do it." He kept his faith in the Lord. Did not allow himself to be distracted. A good soldier focuses on what God is asking of him in the moment and ignores the distractions around him. We read the verse from 2 Timothy 2:4 this morning. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Distraction is a tactic of Satan. Distraction and compromise. That's what he's been doing since the Garden of Eden. He wants to cause us to fail, and he does that by distracting us. He distracted Eve with a nice looking piece of fruit and the challenge, "Yea, hath God said." We talked about that this morning already. In our spiritual battles, let's not allow Satan to distract us from our goal of being victorious. Number four, a good soldier reflects on past victories and accomplishments and gives honor to God. And that's from verse 34 through verse 37. David recounted to Saul what God had done for him in the past, the delivering him out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He said, "God was with me before. God is going to be with me going forward." And David moved forward in that confidence. And as we fight our spiritual battles, we need to look back on times of victory and use that as a help in going forward. Satan wants us to think that we're just a failure. But let's look back at victories and use that to spur us on in our quest for victory. Number five, a good soldier knows his weapons. Saul wanted David to take his armor. Now, this is in verse 38 through 39. But David wasn't interested in fighting that giant with Saul's armor. Fighting this giant with weapons he had not used before. He hadn't practiced with them, so he didn't know how to use them. He didn't know how to use that armor of Saul's, that sword of Saul's. But David did know how to use his staff and his sling. And when did David become good with his staff? I'm sorry, with his slingshot. When did he become able to throw a stone and kill a lion or a bear or something like that? It was when he was faithfully taking care of those sheep. I'm sure he had lots of spare time. And as he was there taking care of those sheep, they're eating the grass, and he's practicing with that sling. He's playing that harp. That's how he passed his spare time. I'm just assuming, but I'm assuming there. But I think we can safely assume that he used his spare time well. When the battle came, David was prepared with his weapons. This morning, you and I have a weapon. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. Are we practiced? Do we know how to use it? Are we in our spare time? Are we reading God's Word or memorizing God's Word? Are we using it as a weapon to fight our battles? David was alert, and he was ready when the lion and the bear came. But in this battle against Goliath, David did not rely on his sling. He didn't rely on his own ability to hit that giant. In verse 45, it says, David, just read that verse again. In verse 45, it says, "Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee with a sling." No, that's not what he said. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." That's the weapon that David went out to fight that giant with. This morning, you and I need to fight our battles through that same power. The forces of evil are conquered by the power of the Lord of hosts. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 on this point about how to use our weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Those are the weapons that we use this morning to fight in our spiritual battles. And we could turn to Ephesians 6 and look at the armor of God and how the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do we know how to use the sword of the Spirit this morning to be victorious in our battle? A good soldier knows his weapons and knows how to use them. Number 6, a good soldier gives the battle everything he has, but never forgets that the battle is the Lord's. And this is in verse 47. This is what David said to Goliath when he went out there to fight them. He says, lost my spot here. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. A good soldier always remembers the battle is the Lord's. But that doesn't mean David just stood out there, did it? He ran out there with his sling. He gave everything he had, and God was able to use that to be able to defeat the giant. The battle is the Lord's, and he is able to conquer. And number 8, a good soldier inspires others to victory. So David went out and fought against this giant, and he was able to, through the power of God, overcome this giant. And then the rest of Israel found the courage to go out and fight and to win this battle for God. And that's how it is when we have pillars in our life. We have spiritual heroes that we look up to, and they inspire us to continue on in our spiritual battle. In closing here, I'd like to just look at a couple rewards to the good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we're victors, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. These are verses that you can probably quote, but they're a promise to us if we overcome the battles that we face. Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So we're not only promised the victory, but we're promised that we can be more than conquerors through the power of Jesus Christ. Paul, in his testimony in 2 Timothy, he says, well, let's just turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." For those who are working when Christ comes back, in that battle, in that war, overcoming evil. One more verse yet. Let's turn to Revelation 21 and verse 7. Thinking about the rewards for being faithful. Revelation 21, verse 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. These promises are made to the person that overcomes. Today we're still in the battle. We need to keep pressing on, keep pushing back against the forces of evil, and be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. It will be worth it all. And sometimes we get bogged down with the things that we face. But like David, let's be a good soldier. Let's stand up and fight and continue on, that we are ready when, like it says here in Revelation, when he comes back, he finds us ready and working for him. The question I'd like to leave with us this morning is, what kind of a soldier are we being this morning? Are we someone who is half trying, half fighting? Or are we doing all we can for the cause of Christ? Let's kneel for prayer.
Father in heaven, we bow before you again this morning. Thank you for being with us here this morning. And Lord, thank you for what we received from your word. And I just pray this week, as we go out and fight our spiritual battles, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to be good soldiers for you and carrying on your kingdom here on earth. Just pray you bless each person in this assembly, Lord. You know our different battles, and I pray that we can be victorious in the battles that we face each day. Give us strength, Lord, until you call us home. We ask this in Jesus' name.